Global Force Wrestling, Scott D'Amore, and you're listening to Pro Wrestling Nation.
This is PWA Ontario champion Mike the Match Hart, and you're listening to Pro Wrestling's number one podcast, Pro Wrestling Nation, with Sam Medina.
This is Tito Santana, WWE Hall of Famer 2004. Arriba!
San Jose Improv, your boy Funky Sam Medina, come see me. We're teaming up with the Second Harvest Food Bank. It's going to be a food drive, so one can of food gets you in for free, two cans of food gets you to meet me, and a whole lot of fun to be had. There's a 2-item minimum. Show up at like 7:30, and it's gonna be awesome. August 31st, San Jose Improv, come see your boy Funky Sam Medina. What's up, people? Welcome to Pro Wrestling Nation, a pro wrestling podcast. Every single week, most of the time. I am your host, I am a stand-up comedian, I am a pro wrestling podcaster, and I am a Pokemon Go player. My name is Funky Sam Medina. What's cracking, people? What is cracking? Welcome to Pro Wrestling Nation, your favorite podcast that is on the air. How's it going, people? How's it going? Before we go any further, I just want to say that Pro Wrestling Nation can be found every single week on iTunes, Stitcher, Beyond Pod, the TuneIn Radio app, the new Android podcasting application thingy, RedDragonsRadio.com, and of course, Gerwick.net, GERWECK, your number one source for pro wrestling news since 1997. I think in a little while we'll go through the headlines on Gerwick.net and see what is happening in this crazy, crazy world of professional wrestling. It's been such a week, hasn't it? Last Monday, Shane was announced as the commissioner, quote-unquote commissioner, of SmackDown Live. And Stephanie was announced as the commissioner of the flagship Monday Night Raw. Now, each of them have to provide a GM, which is weird because it's like, okay, now we have four authority figures. Five, if you count Vince McMahon. Five authority figures in the WWE. So weird. But hopefully, hopefully it'll pan out, you know? When I was excited about the draft, I didn't realize we'd have five authority figures. I thought we would have three. I mean, three is still better than five, right? Yes, it is. This week, my boy Chet Love stopped us by the podcast. He's also a comedian. I haven't seen him or talked to him for like 4 years since he left San Jose, California. He's off doing his thing. He's a radio personality. He's a comedian. We have been to plenty of open mics together. We have been in the trenches, people. The trenches of comedy. The trenches of comedy. He is my comedy brethren. I can't fucking talk today. What's going on? How the hell you doing? Chet. You know, I didn't even know Chet liked wrestling. And then I saw a post the other day on Facebook, and he like posted some article about NXT. I'm like, dude, you like wrestling? He's like, I like NXT. I'm like, well then perfect. Let's get together. We'll do some talk. We'll talk about NXT, and we'll do a podcast together. And he's like, hell yeah, let's do it. I was supposed to have this done yesterday. We recorded yesterday, Chet and I, but it didn't work out because I was too tired. I was falling asleep at the computer. I was falling asleep producing it. And so I decided, you know what? I'm going to re-record my vocals. And I'm going to re-record the intro. That's what I mean. Not the vocals. The intro. I'm not a rapper. I'm not a singer. Not anything like that. So let's go to my conversation with Chet Love in a few minutes. He goes by Chet Yoder now. I don't know if he's like Yoda, and Kurt Loder had a love child. And it's Chet Yoder. But check him out at Chet_Yoder on Twitter. And yeah. So let's go to the conversation in a few minutes. Before I would do that, I want to say, it's been a hellacious week in professional wrestling. I started talking about this a minute ago, but I got distracted. So we're going to see a draft this week. We're also going to see the GMs being announced this week, which is pretty cool. It's Monday morning, Monday afternoon, Monday evening for some of you. I don't know. And tonight they're going to announce the GMs of Monday Night Raw and SmackDown Live. And it's going to be pretty cool, I guess, you know. I'm still not looking forward to so many authority figures. I'm hoping that the rumors about Daniel Bryan are true. And tonight, Daniel Bryan gets revealed as a SmackDown GM. Who's going to be the Raw GM? Eric Bischoff, Triple H. You know, people say Triple H, but then I'm like, I can't possibly see Stephanie giving Triple H a job below her. You know, I feel like if he comes back in any capacity, he will be doing, like helping her with her job. You know what I mean? I don't know. I can't see Triple H getting assigned a job lower than Stephanie McMahon. I feel like they need to be equals in this crazy, crazy world. You know what I mean? It's crazy, right? Also, we saw the first episode of the Cruiserweight Classic, which was amazing. I'm going to go over that in a few minutes when I come back from the conversation with my boy, Chet Love. And we also saw Nakamura versus Finn Balor, which I will also go over in a few minutes when I come back from my conversation with my boy, Chet Love. So I guess without any further ado, let's go ahead and go to the conversation. When I come back, I'm going to talk about NXT last week. I'm going to talk about the Cruiserweight Classic. I'm going to talk about the draft rules, which have been posted. And I'm going to talk about something else. Oh, I'm going to go over the headlines on Gorick.net and see what's happening in this crazy world. All right, you guys, I'm going to go to my conversation right now with Mr. Chet Love, Chet Yoder, whatever you want to call him. Just don't call him late for NXT. Ladies and gentlemen, here's my boy, Chet. Welcome back to the program. I am your host, Funky Sam Medina. I am here with a fellow stand-up comedian, a radio personality, and a lover of NXT, Chet Love. What's going on, Chet? How you doing, man?
Dude, I'm doing good, man. How about you?
I'm doing fantastic. I haven't talked to you in so long. It's good to talk to you.
The last time we talked, I believe we were both doing like an open mic night, and I think we both did okay. if not bombing, but
yeah, that was probably the last time I didn't bomb. When did you leave California?
I left back in 2012.
Wow, 4 years ago.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah. I remember I was going through my Facebook messages when I hit you up, and I was like, man, this is the guy who I hit up when I wanted to see Felipe Esparza like 6 years ago.
That's right. Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, good times,
man. Still big in the comedy world, most definitely. I still do it from time to time. I've done some weddings. So it's been kind of fun, some private stuff, but not as much as I would like to. And it's kind of disappointing.
Yeah, me too. Same here. I work graveyards, so that gets in the way a lot of doing comedy. Even though I'm downtown San Jose now, so there's a few mics I could just walk to and then walk to work. So I need to get on it and start doing it again. I'm on the Improv on August 31st.
Perfect. I see. What I got to do is I got to like write more. You know how hard that is.
Oh, dude, yeah. Trust
and
me.
So I got to like change up my material from time to time. You know, that would help.
I'm like, how do I not know how to write jokes? Like, my method of writing jokes is something funny happens to me in real life, and I find a way to make it into worded out on stage.
Exactly. That's what I do too. And now, I mean, now I've kind of shaped my stand-up act kind of in the breadth of like Anthony Chesilnick meets Daniel Tosh. So those are the two of my favorites. I don't mean to digress, but those are two of my favorites. So.
Yeah, no, those are good comics. Those are definitely good comics. Yeah. I used to love Tosh.0. I still kind of do. Did you watch speaking of Tosh, did you see the episode with the, It's Still Real to Me, Redemption?
I did. I enjoyed it.
That was amazing.
Absolutely.
So why did you leave California? You went to for work, or what'd you go for?
I left California to take a job at a sports talk station up in the Midwest first.
Okay.
It was a sports and news director position, and it was in Iowa, of all places. And I spent about a couple of years there, and then I hopped on over to, like, Wyoming. I worked in some, like, podunk towns. Wow. And then I came down to Lafayette, Louisiana, and Lafayette, Louisiana was great. I've been here about almost 3 years. I've seen like two Raws, two SmackDowns live. I went to NXT TakeOver Dallas, cause my brother lives near Dallas, saw WrestleMania, got to do that. So cross that off the bucket list. NXT TakeOver Dallas was the best live experience I've ever had because I was supposed to sit in the second deck, that riser section, but they upgraded our seats, so I got to sit second row floor seats. So
an assignment for you,
Sam. Yeah, second row. So an assignment for you, Sam, is since you have the network, to rewatch NXT Dallas, and you will see me in my ECW shirt. I am like promoting ECW hardcore, as it always is, from the second row, and people are like, "Who is this lunatic with an ECW shirt on?"
They're probably like, "What is that?"
Well, I mean, you know, Paul, like, and I tweeted out a picture of me at the event because all my friends were taking pictures of me, and I tweeted it out to Paul Heyman. You know, Heyman Hustle at Twitter, and he favorited it and he retweeted it, and that like made my life because I love Paulie. I mean, Paulie Dangerously, Paul Heyman. He's the reason why I got into wrestling ever since he broke in WCW. So
that's cool. It's not. I have a story. It's not as cool as that one though. I have a Frankie Kazarian T-shirt that I bought in 2005 at an APW event up here in Hayward.
Nice.
And what year was it? 2014. There was a big convention out here, and Kazarian was there. And I wore the Kazarian T-shirt, and he looked at me. He was like, "Holy crap! That is an old T-shirt. That's one of 50 shirts I ever made." I was like, "Oh,
it
wow.
is. It is." I mean, see, and the thing is with me is I know all the little leagues. I know I grew up watching Smoky Mountain, ECW, USWA. You know, the PWG, the Pro Wrestling Guerrilla, you know, I TNA. So I kind of know all the facets of the game. So it's kind of like, it's kind of fun to compare what it is now to what it was before, you know, and, you know, back when it was WWF, not WWE, you know, and you have all these wrestlers and you see the evolution of the business. I think it's a remarkable thing. So.
No, it definitely is. Especially when you think about like what kind of boundaries they had before. You know, people couldn't come in with their like AJ Styles 10 years ago couldn't have been AJ Styles.
Right, you know? Right, and I don't mean to digress, but that's what made ECW my favorite because Paulie
didn't give a fuck.
Said screw the business.
Yeah,
I'm gonna do what I want to do. I'm gonna have raunch. I'm gonna have sex. I'm gonna have violence, and I'm also gonna have great technical matches. Which kind of got overlooked because of all the raunch and the violence that he liked to display, and that's why Paulie's just Paul Heyman is just one of my favorites.
Heyman not only introduced the world to the guys like the Ravens and the Balls Mahoney's and the New Jacks, but then also like the Chris Jerichos and the Eddie Guerreros, the Dean Malenkos, you know.
Yeah, don't forget Sabu.
yeah, I mean Hoovy and Psychosis and I was
Rob
listening
Van
to this.
Dam.
Conan has a podcast, Cuban 100, with Conan. And I was listening to the newest episode, and they're talking to Hoovy. And I guess Hoovy he's in the UK right now. And Heyman was just there doing a one-man show or whatever. And Hoovy said to him, "Hey, man, like, you're the guy that brought me to the United States. Like, thank you so much." And Paul, he said, "No, Conan brought you here. I told Conan to bring me somebody, and he brought you." You know,
he's a great booker. I mean, I really wish that Paul Heyman would still book for
WWE.
You remember, but I don't think Vince wants that.
Like 2006 when he was booking SmackDown?
Yes, I do remember that. I was watching that. It was fantastic. He's a great booker. I mean, if they paid him the right amount of money, he would do it. He says he doesn't want to, but I mean, everybody has a price. But Vince, you know Vince, he wants to be in control.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, not in control now. Shane and Stephanie are in control, right?
Okay. Well, you know what I mean. It's always the McMahons on top of the business, and I'm just like, okay. I mean, it is what it is. I like Shane and Steph, but, I mean, you got to have Paul Heyman booking. It would be amazing, but oh, well.
Oh, well. I mean, I agree, though. Paul Heyman, 2010, I want to say, maybe 9 or 8, before Hulk Hogan's regime came in, Dixie Carter and TNA were talking to Paul Heyman, and he wanted to come in, and he wanted full control, and he wanted to do this, and he wanted to do that, and they were kind of threatened by how much power he wanted, because he wanted to oversee every little aspect of the company, merchandise, advertising, creative, TV, everything he wanted to oversee it all, and they weren't comfortable with that. But I think if they would have kind of given him what he wanted, they would have, TNA would be so much more amazing now.
I agree.
Yeah, he said a couple of things he said about if he would have taken over TNA, he said he would have gotten rid of, because at this time there was a lot of old timers there. There's not now, but at this time there was. He said he would have gotten rid of everybody over 40 except for one. He would pick one person over 40 and keep that person because that would make that person special. And he would have built the company around Bryan Danielson, who became Daniel Bryan, of course, and right. That would have got him so much popularity.
Well, I don't think Daniel Bryan's, having any trouble right now. I think he's just fine.
No, I meant that would have brought TNA a lot of popularity.
Right,
no,
right,
Daniel Bryan's better off with his WWE money. You know, he's doing the Cruiserweight Classic.
Right.
And did you see the spoiler that WWE put out?
No, I did not. I try to stay away from spoilers as much as I can.
Well, I'm going to give it to you anyway. You mind?
Okay, that's fine.
they put up an article about the draft and the brand split on the WWE.com, and the headline of the article was "The Yes Movement Takes Over SmackDown Live," and then they quickly changed the headline.
Did they?
That could possibly mean that we get the Yes Movement GMing SmackDown.
See, that, you know, that's interesting, because the one thing I was worried about when the brand split was going to happen was how it was going to affect NXT, and you know, I'm a huge NXT guy, like bigger than the main roster and everything that it represents, but it feels like NXT is not going to be affected as much as maybe myself or other perceived it as to be. So I'm hoping that NXT kind of continues to grow and continues to be a bigger thing, and really I want it to get more time on the network and somehow find its way, you know, off the network as well.
Somebody posted something. I don't know if it's a real or a fake, but they posted a picture of Finn Balor that Finn Balor posted, and it was a picture of himself, and it was captioned, "Is there a window open? Because I feel a draft."
Well, you do know that Finn Balor is going to be moved up to the main roster, and that match against Shinsuke was kind of his swan song. I'd be shocked if they don't move him up. I mean,
let's talk about NXT. First, though, I want to kind of go back a little bit. How do you feel about, like, the NXT people? Because have you been watching NXT since basically the beginning, or when do you go back with NXT?
Yeah, I started NXT when they started. Like, the Sami Zayn.
Like when it was on Hulu Plus?
Right, exactly.
Okay, me too. So what do you think of these guys who've graduated, the Wyatt family, Paige, the Divas Revolution women, who else, Neville, the Lucha Dragons, the Vaudevillains, the Ascension? Like, do you think any of these guys are clicking, and do you think any of them are, like, not living up to their potential?
I mean, I think they are. I mean, I think it's tough for me to accept these wrestlers and the Divas moving up to the main roster, because I loved them in NXT, and I just feel like I watch much more NXT. I'm so much more invested into it than watching WWE. But I mean, the Vaudevillains, I mean, are you kidding me? They're so much fun. How do you not like them as far as what they've done to the business and kind of their image? And Paige, I mean, I got to meet Paige at Access. I mean, she's dark, she's gothic, she can wrestle. I think she's got the talent to be, you know, something that this business really needs, and the whole diva movement, and you know, to get away from the wrestlers, but the diva movement and the wrestling movement, I think has been fantastic. And I think NXT has not only embraced it, but took it at its own. You know, they made main events, you know, between Asuka and all the other girls, Bayley and all that stuff. So
the Bayley Sasha main event was just off the charts.
And then, I mean, KO, I mean, Kevin Owens, I'm a huge Kevin Owens fan. To see him come up from NXT and then everything that he's doing in WWE, I mean, it's fantastic. But the thing is, with KO, his best moment, in my opinion, was when he took over the broadcast. And what was it, Money in the Bank? I think he just, like, grabbed a headset and started talking.
It was one of those pay-per-views. Because Sami Zayn, he beat Sami Zayn, and then KO stayed over for the next match, the Intercontinental title 4-way.
I love Sami Zayn, too. I mean, it's just, you know, the whole, I think the whole graduation process has been, I mean, nothing but useful and positive for the WWE.
Yeah, except for guys like Baron Corbin. I don't know, man. What do you think about Baron Corbin?
I hate Baron Corbin. Baron Corbin
is good, me too.
Well, no, the problem with Baron Corbin is he's simply a Vince McMahon product. Because Vince McMahon falls in love with these big guys, you know, these guys who have a big upper body, hence Roman Reigns, you know, and it's just Vince just needs to stop. He needs to stop falling in love with these guys that just look big and they have some kind of image. Because look at Baron Corbin. I don't know if you're a Roman Reigns fan. Please tell me you're not, Sam.
You know what? I like Roman Reigns. I feel it's not his fault, but he's terrible. he's terrible. He's decent in the ring, but when it comes to his promos, his talking, he's bad. And the reason why he's so bad is because he's not saying his words. He's saying a 70-year-old man's words.
Oh, come
and if
on.
They would
you
tell
can
him,
believe that. You can believe that.
Okay. You know what? I feel like Roman was a lot more genuine when he was saying, believe that. He was going, believe that. And then he started going, believe that, and like completely separating the words, because I feel like Vince yelled at him about that because it makes him sound uneducated. But he's a big badass football playing Samoan, you know, he's gonna say bully that.
But see and that's the problem. You know, you talk about Baron Corbin, but the problem is Vince just, I mean, first of all, WrestleMania was terrible. I felt like I got gypped going to that event and how much money I didn't spend that much, but I mean, I spent enough for WrestleMania to be at AT&T Jerry's
World.
Probably
dropped a couple hundred bucks anyway.
Well, yeah, it was just at least a couple hundred. And Vince was just like, you know, he just does this whole like, F you, I'm going to have Jericho, you know, beat Styles. And it's just like, come on, you know, I'm not ready to put Styles over, you know, or he's going to have Roman Reigns, of course, beats Triple H. And then it's just, I don't know, he just has so many of these things that it's like he as intentionally goes for what the crowd doesn't want, to want them to watch more and see what happens. You know,
it is. It's a mentality of making them leave pissed off so they want to come back and get their payoff. But the problem is we don't really get our payoff these days anymore.
I'm not
we got
getting
Daniel
a payoff
Bryan.
With the main roster.
What's that?
I'm not getting paid off in the main roster.
No, we're not. Our payoff is that Roman Reigns beats Triple H. That's our payoff, and nobody wants that.
Nobody wants that. I mean, I'm glad. Now, the best thing right now, I love Enzo and Cass. I'm a huge Enzo and Cass fan.
Oh, those guys are amazing.
From NXT, and then now they got to be, you know, brought up to the main roster. They're still fantastic. They're fun. I mean, I want them. I'm waiting for them to be tag champs. And when that happens, I mean, it's going to be amazing. And then you have Carmella doing her thing now for NXT on her own. And I thought Carmella on her own, I think she's a really good wrestler. People always fight with me about that, and people think Carmella doesn't have much talent, and I'm like, you gotta be kidding me. You gotta watch her wrestle. Like, just don't get away from the hot as hell, man. She is hot as hell in the ring and her wrestling ability, but I don't mean to digress, so.
You know what, though? You bring up a good point. Like, these women NXT, the Carmellas and the Alexa Bliss's. Alexa Bliss has gotten so good at her character, and she's gotten so good in the ring, and she's gotten so good on the mic. She did this tag team match a couple of months ago with, I think she was tagging with Emma or somebody.
Yeah.
And she walks in the ring, she turns, she's right in front of Emma, and she flicks her hair right in Emma's face. And it was like the perfect thing for her character. And
yeah,
I was like,
yeah. The funny thing is with Emma is Emma's got the attitude that you just love. You know, she's got the blue lips. She's got that bad girl, tight little body. She's hot as hell. And then you got Alexa that just plays the perfect bitch so well. I mean, she does it so well. She taunts the crowd. She talks about how funny it is just to start pulverizing this other girl into the mat. I mean, she is fantastic. I'm glad that she's on her own now, starting to wrestle. I hope she gets her shot at Asuka.
Yeah, I would like to
Asuka.
See her.
That'd be fun. I mean, Asuka is probably technically the best female wrestler to come out of NXT right now. I mean, I think Bayley's got some talent there. I think Nia Jax is a disgrace, but we can talk about her later. But I want to see Carmella and Alexa get their shot at Asuka.
Yeah, so do I. I feel like, you know, but Asuka's going to beat them all. She's a world beater. Like, Asuka is wrestling's Ronda Rousey right now, and I feel
she
like
she is. But we know that someone's going to beat her.
Who's it going to be?
We know that. It's whoever William Regal wants to put over. I don't know if it would make sense if Alexa Bliss would beat her, but I think Carmella could in a great technical match. I think Carmella could do it. But I don't know when she's going to get her chance. I don't think she's in the cards right now. But I sure as hell hope that Nia Jax does not get another shot, because I do not like the way she wrestles, and it has nothing to do with her weight. People always think I'm making fun of her weight or anything. I've seen bigger girls work harder than her, and she's the Rock's cousin.
She's the Rock's cousin.
Well, that's the only reason. That's the only reason why she's there.
Is the Rock's cousin.
I don't mind. I like the Rock. I have no problem with the Rock. I like them more as a heel, but you know, that's for a different day in discussion. But do you like Nia Jax? Do you seriously do?
I like her as Eva Marie's heavy.
Oh my goodness! I can't believe this. I mean, have you seen her work in the ring? She can't even work.
Well,
hard
see,
enough.
The thing is, though, I'm not talking about her working in the ring. I'm just talking about her being a bodyguard. I like her as Eva Marie's muscle.
Okay. Well, that's a different story. I'm talking about she's going for a title. She wants a title, and she's trying to get through Bayley and everybody else. I think she's taking on Bayley again next Wednesday at NXT. She's just terrible. It's like, golly.
We have Rhino and Joe. Is that right?
Yeah. Do you like that?
I don't know. It's really weird. It's like two worlds. It's two different worlds meeting in a third world. You know what I mean?
What makes it so creative is, and I love the job that William Regal is doing with this, because he is basically telling everybody that, hey, I'm going to have worlds collide. You set it up perfectly, Sam. You said these are two different worlds. Rhino's your past. Samoa Joe's your present. And you're going to have these two go at it. I don't think Rhino's going to beat Samoa Joe. I don't think that's going to happen.
Rhino
looks out of shape. Rhino doesn't even look fully in shape. He's had a few years on him. I don't know. It'll be interesting for Rhino to get his shot at Samoa Joe this early, but William Regal is very consistent to what he's doing for NXT. He's going to give guys an opportunity just like that. And so at least he's been consistent to what he has done.
This old Rhino Samoa Joe match, how would you feel if that was the main event of TakeOver Brooklyn? But instead of having Nakamura versus Balor last Wednesday in a pre-tape match, we had Nakamura versus Balor, the co-main event at TakeOver Brooklyn. Or would you want to see, or would you rather have seen what we saw Wednesday and have Nakamura versus Joe at Brooklyn?
I want Nakamura and Joe at Brooklyn. I am shocked that Nakamura and Balor was on just a regular TV taping. But
tell me, what did you think about the match first?
Oh, I thought the match was terrific. What did you think?
I felt like they held a lot back, like a lot. Like,
really?
I don't know. I mean, I guess maybe my expectations were a little bit high. Like, I really liked it. It was a good match for what it was. I mean, it was the entire episode of NXT, pretty much. But
it was.
I feel like if they would have had the match at Brooklyn, it would have been like 100 times better.
The energy would have been better. I think there could have been more of some outside the ring activities, a little more acrobatic moves. I'll say this. I think Sami Zayn and Nakamura, I saw it live. I thought Sami Zayn and Nakamura was, I'd say five times better than Nakamura and Balor. But that's not fair, because Sami and Shinsuke was on a bigger stage. So that, I don't know if that's a fair argument.
I'll follow you up with this one. I feel like the match we had last Wednesday between Nakamura and Balor was better than Nakamura versus Aries.
Oh yeah, no, Nakamura and Aries was okay. I don't know how I feel about Austin Aries. I think I like his style. I don't know if it's gonna grow in anything special. We all knew that Nakamura was gonna be put over in that match. I thought the atmosphere at the end was fantastic. I mean, to hear the crowd sing Shinsuke's song, I started doing it.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know about you, Sam. my friends and I were, you know, going, so Shinsuke and Balor was basically a move because William Regal did not plan it out accordingly and realized that he had to move up Balor quicker than he might have hoped for. So he had to make it a TV taping, and he's also trying to pump up the ratings for the TV taping. So I don't know. Like I said, there's pros and cons to everything. I would have had Shinsuke and Balor at Brooklyn, but they're going to have Shinsuke and Joe at Brooklyn. So, I mean,
yeah, which is also going to be amazing as hell.
Which is awesome. So, I mean, it's just going to suck when Balor leaves NXT because I just don't know how much of a pop. I know he'll get the pop at the main roster. I just don't know how it's going to affect him. I really don't. Go ahead. No, go ahead. I'm done.
Oh, here's the thing is they're not presenting these guys in the same way on the main roster than they are in NXT. Like, look at the Ascension. The Ascension was presented as these badass monsters, and they came out on Raw, and they're like, we're going to run over the World Warriors. We're going to demolish Demolition. We're going to New Age the Outlaws. And
right,
it was like,
right.
What? And then they got beat up by Hall and Nash or something, didn't they? I don't know.
Yeah.
But
well, it's funny that you brought up the Road Warriors because the first thing that came into my mind was the Authors of Pain. The new tag team in NXT, because I'm thinking, man, Paul Ellering's back. The Authors of Pain, they just, like, they look like the second coming to, like, the gangsters, you know? like the PG-rated of New Jack and Mustafa from ECW.
They both look like giant D'Lo Brown.
There you go. I'm just curious what they're going to do with these two guys. And I don't mean to jump from one topic to another, Sam.
No, that's good.
I apologize, but
I don't really know. I don't see these guys going very far. I mean, they're a tag team. They're these big, big guys. I don't really know what else they can do besides splash people in the corner and do, you know, slams and stuff.
I'm telling you, they're going to go farther than you think because Paul Ellering's the manager of the team. I mean, it's going to happen. William Regal's going to definitely prop these guys up. He's going to give them an opportunity, and I would not be surprised if at some point they are the tag team champions.
Have they had a match yet on TV?
Have they had a match? Yes, they did. They took on, do I want to say the Hypros? It was a Java. You know? They were just taking on some Midland tag team.
Right. Oh yeah.
Yeah. I mean it's NXT. They kind of have to.
The tag team that I'm looking forward to really seeing is TM61. I don't know how familiar you are with Pro Wrestling Noah, but there's these two guys from Australia. They moved to Japan. And they kind of made a name for themselves in the number two promotion in Japan, in Pro Wrestling Noah. And they recently got signed, and they've come over to NXT, and they're called Team 61.
I have seen Team 61. I don't know if they have the pop to really be successful, but if you're pulling behind them, I'll watch them more closely, Sam.
I think they're going to be more of a slow burn.
Okay.
I think it's going to take time for people to get behind them. But once they do, hopefully they'll let them kind of be genuine because I feel like the crowd's going to fall in love with them like they did in Japan.
The problem is with NXT is, I mean, look at like the two biggest tag teams to come out of there. I mean, you got Enzo and Cass. Everybody loved them. American Alpha, you know. And it's just so hard as a tag team to really capture NXT. So, I think it's going to be a slow burn.
But the revival and the American Alpha, they just tear down.
Yeah, and American Alpha, I mean, they just have that sexy factor to them. I mean, look at them. I mean, Gable and Jordan, I mean, they're just, how do you not like them? You know, they're good at what they do in the ring, and they really, really play to the crowd.
But I love them now.
Yeah, I mean, I always kind of liked them. I always give everybody a chance. I was so mad
because Jason Jordan was in a tag team with Ty Dillinger, and he turned on Ty Dillinger because he didn't want to be in a tag team, and then all of a sudden he's in a tag team again. But you know what? This American Alpha is the best thing for both of these guys.
Are you a Dillinger fan? You like the perfect team? You a 10
no,
guy?
No, I don't. I hate it.
I hate him. I hate him.
Did you know when Nakamura first debuted, he did TV taping at WrestleMania Access, and it was Nakamura versus Ty Dillinger.
I watched it. I was there.
You were there?
And, I was there.
Did you hear about the tweet afterwards?
Ty Dillinger tweeted
Nakamura and said, "Until we meet again, hashtag perfect 10. And then Nakamura tweeted him back and said, "I'm 11.
That's awesome. I don't know. I don't get Ty Dillinger. My brother was in an event where he had like a paper that said 5 just to mess with him.
I feel like he's trying to be Daniel Bryan.
To bring it old school, he reminds me of like Mr. Perfect, a poor man's Mr. Perfect. Like,
but I mean the yes, 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 and 10, 10, 10.
Yeah,
the hand movement's almost the same.
NXT, they like him enough, but they don't. I don't know if they're in love with him. If you can kind of look at what William Regal's doing with him, but when it comes to Ty Dillinger, I just don't know what to think.
Did you know Ty Dillinger's been in WWE developmental since 2006?
I'm sorry?
Ty Dillinger's been in WWE developmental since 2006.
That's true.
Yeah, he debuted in 2009 on the launch of ECW. Mm-hmm. And then when ECW went away in 2010, he got released. And then he was hired back in, I think, 13. And now he's been in NXT ever since.
He's paid his dues. I mean, I'm not going to take that away from him. He's definitely had
and
guys.
And he has cornrows. What the hell's going on with that? He looks weird.
Well, that's part of his character. I mean, that's not.
What is he, a basketball
like
player?
His best moment, though, that I could not stop laughing was when he went up to, you know, those backstage interviews. I think it was Andrea, one of those girls. I can't remember, but he called her a 6. He's like, "What's up, 6? I thought that was so funny. I couldn't stop laughing when he said that. He like interrupted somebody's interview. I think it was like Apollo Crews, you know, between him and Apollo Crews. And Apollo Crews was doing a backstage interview, and Andrea was like interviewing Apollo Crews, and he was just like, "What's up, 6? Let me get in here." And she just interrupted the whole backstage interview. I'm sorry, Sam. I found it funny.
That's great. No, whatever. Let's transition off Ty Dillinger for a minute. And I know you want to get out of here pretty quick, so let's get wrapped up. But I want to talk about NXT TakeOver The End, because I still feel like it is the end. You know, they say, "Oh, it was just the end of Nakamura versus Joe." But this, we're having a draft, and we're having Raw, we're having SmackDown, and we don't have the roster. We don't have enough people to fill out 2 shows. So I still feel that, surprisingly enough, we're going to end up losing maybe a third, maybe half of the NXT roster going up to the main card here. And they're giving themselves back up here. They're signing all these guys. They're signing Grand Metalik. They signed Kota Ibushi. They have Johnny Gargano on hand. They have Tommaso Ciampa on hand. Rich Swann is signed. There's rumors they're going to sign Zack Sabre Jr. and Jack Gallagher and all these other guys from the Cruiserweight Classic. So these 32 guys you see, 15 to 20 of them are going to be under contract by the end of the year. And that's going to be our NXT roster. So what do you think about this transition, like take over the beginning of the end or the end of the beginning? Do you think we're going to lose the roster? And how do you think NXT is going to do if we lose a lot of our stars?
I was concerned about this, and I said this earlier in this podcast years, but I don't know if you heard the news about WWE signing a couple of big names from the Cruiserweight Classic, and that was awesome, by the way.
Yeah, they signed Tajiri, and then Kota Ibushi. Spoiler alert, but he debuted in NXT even.
Right, and so that's what I'm saying. I think that NXT is still going to be good, and here's the thing about NXT is it's not just about the guys and the pop factor. What I love the pure indie feel of it. And it brings me back to like the ECW days when Paul Heyman was hosting, you know, shows from the Bingo Hall or the Auditorium in Philadelphia or, you know, those shows that he was doing. And that's really what I love about NXT is just that pure indie feel with the crowd on top of the ring, that intimate feel. And I feel like it, as much as Vince McMahon might not care about the NXT enough to keep it going, I'm going to continue to watch it and enjoy it for what it is and not just these big name wrestlers that get to wrestle in it, but the feel of it. And I don't know if I'm being, you know, cheesy with that. I don't know how you feel about that, Sam, but I don't think that that should affect NXT as far as the feel of it. And I'm a fan of the feel of NXT more so than
It definitely has a vibe that that nothing else has ever had, and kind of an ECW, kind of a Ring of Honor, kind of this, kind of that, and it's all mixed into one. But it has WWE money, you know.
Yeah.
So this time next week, you know, next month, whatever, we could be having Bobby Roode and Samoa Joe and Nakamura, and then all these new guys are coming in. Did you see Breaking Ground?
I did not. I have to.
Okay, Breaking Ground is really good. There is about, you know, it showed a lot of people that we haven't seen on TV yet. A lot of guys that they have that they're grooming that aren't on TV, and I feel like these guys are ready to come in and take their spots. You know, Hugo Knox and Tino Santelli or whatever the guy's name was, and then this girl Aaliyah, and then they just signed Nikki Storm out of Australia. They have the guys to back up the roster, so I feel it's time.
Here's a question for you: have you been to an NXT live show?
I went to NXT San Jose. I was there the very first time Hideo Itami hit a GTS.
Yes. Okay, my brother was at that show.
Oh, man.
Absolutely, yeah. He came in just for that show.
That was, like, one of the best. That was literally one of the top five best moments of my going to wrestling shows, was seeing that GTS, the energy in the room, just the way the crowd popped for it, and just the importance of it, because he was teasing it for months and months and months. And he was even tweeting CM Punk. There was a point where CM Punk tweeted Hideo Itami and was like, "Hey, Hideo Itami, you should go buy a CM Punk t-shirt." And then Hideo Itami tweeted him back and was like, "Oh, well, maybe tomorrow, because right now I need to go to sleep," you know, and stuff that.
It's so remarkable that how much NXT has grown from being a show that's exclusively on a WWE network that not everybody has. And for them to fill up arenas and shows, and I mean, I went to NXT TakeOver Dallas. I mean, it wasn't the biggest arena. It was, you know, at the convention hall, but it's still filled up. I mean, it's becoming more and more of a pop, and I think people are begging for NXT to maybe get out of the network and be on, you know, on obviously on a television network. I don't think that's going to happen anytime soon, but I just love the growth that NXT has gradually made under Triple H and you know, William Regal and everybody else. I think it's just been fantastic.
Yeah, definitely. Last question here on the NXT subject. Do you think Triple H is working us? Triple H has a reputation for not putting people over, for being selfish, for liking the big guys, the bodybuilders. You know, he goes to bodybuilding competitions. But he knows what the internet wants. He knows what the internet likes. So if he gives us what we want, then we're going to flock to him, and we're going to want him, and we're going to be like, "Yes, Triple H, yes, whatever you want, just give us NXT. And I feel like, you know, it's a possibility that Triple H is just working us to kind of gain our trust a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a big Triple H fan, so, I mean, I'm a little bit biased, Sam, and I hate to go there, but I buy everything he's selling. I grew up, you know, when he had the little bow in his hair and he was Hunter Hearst Helmsley before he got all big. I loved him as a wrestler. I thought this guy could be the next – I thought he was going to be the next Shawn Michaels. And I don't know if you saw – I don't know if you remember Hunter Hearst Helmsley when he had the bow in his hair and he was just a little guy.
Oh, I remember.
Yeah. He had the pop for Shawn Michaels, and I thought, okay, this guy's got a little Shawn Michaels in him. I think they can prop him. All of a sudden, he turns out to be one of the biggest faces for WWE. I don't think so. I'm going to say no. I think that
you think he's genuine?
He's very genuine. I think his dedication in the business has been proven, and all the sacrifices he's had to make. I mean, he's not getting any younger, and you've seen his matches have still – good. They're still good. They're not great, but it could be worse because he's not that, you know, not that young anymore. And I think his matches are still good. I think everything he's doing in the front office is fantastic. I think it's a great angle. I'd rather have him running it than Vince. I can tell you that right now. I'm not a big fan of Vince McMahon right now. I used to be, but he lost my trust. But Triple H, no, I'm still buying what he's selling.
Vince McMahon lost my trust the day he said, "I didn't screw Brett. Brett Screw Brett.
That's the best. That is the best. I'm so glad you brought that up. That is so funny. That is just hilarious. Oh, we could talk on and on about the dirty laundry behind this business, like, and just go on and on forever.
Yeah, I want to actually do an episode someday just about, like, the screw job and just about, like, NWO and just about DX. Just dive into it, you know. But let's get out of here. I know you got places to be and stuff. You want to drop any social media or you plug anything or talk about, you know, tell us where to find you on the radio and stuff?
Yeah, you can go ahead and follow me at Chet_Yoder. That's Chet_Yoder, Yoder. I'm always watching NXT, WWE, just like everybody else. I'm a humongous fan, and I'm just like one of you. So you and everybody else listening, I'm not anybody bigger, but please follow me there. I hope to do this again. I had a lot of fun with you, Sam. It's good catching up.
Yeah, it definitely was good talking to you, man. Cool.
All right.
Sounds good. Thank you very much, man, for stopping by. And, definitely keep in touch, and we'll talk soon.
All right. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Later.
Welcome back to the show. Welcome back to Pro Wrestling Nation. I am still your host, and my name is still Funky Sam Medina. I am glad and excited to be here, and I'm glad and excited to bring you this podcast. Thank you so much to Chet Yoder for stopping by. It was a great time talking to Chet. It was so much fun. I had a good time talking to this guy. You know, I just love talking to people about wrestling. I really, really do. Especially people like him. He's a radio personality. He's a comedian. You know, he's well-spoken. He has good stuff to say. And expect to see Mr. Chet Love back on the podcast again. I don't care if he's going by Chet Yoder. On this show, he is known by only Chet Love. So hit up Chet Love on Twitter at Chet_Yoder and tell him you heard him on Pro Wrestling Nation. What's going on, people? What's going on? Welcome back. I got some exciting news for you. We have the draft rules. It's pretty cool, right? Before we get into that, I want to get into the Cruiserweight Classic. We saw four matches out of the first round. The first round will be four episodes, I think, right? Maybe three episodes. I don't know. I read online that the first round is four matches. I don't know spoilers, though. I've done my best to stay away from spoilers because I don't want to know. I want to be surprised when I watch it play out on TV. Now, the first match, we had Grand Metalik taking on Mr. Saez. I don't remember his name. Saez, and it was a good match. It was a really good match. Grand Metalik gets the win and moves on to the second round. In the second match, who was in the second match? I don't even remember the second match. It was, I don't know. We also saw Ho Ho Loon, my new favorite wrestler out of China. And if you haven't listened to the episode that I did with Adrian, what's his last name? Gomez. Adrian Gomez. If you haven't heard the episode I did with Adrian Gomez, go back and listen to Middle Kingdom Wrestling because it's a really good episode. We talk about the Chinese wrestling scene and we talk about Ho Ho Loon a little bit. And it's a good time. It's a good time. It's a good time, folks. So go back, check it out. Couple episodes ago. Where was I going with this? So I talked to Adrian Gomez and blah, blah, blah. Oh, right. Ho Ho Loon. So Ho Ho Loon was taking on Arya Daivari. And you know what? It was weird because we had four matches, right? The main event was Kota Ibushi winning his match. I can't remember at the moment who he beat anyways. But we had stars. We had the Grand Metalik was a star. We had Arya Daivari was a star. Kota Ibushi was a star. I honestly don't remember who's in the second match. I'm sorry right now. Oh, you know what? I can find out because my friend texted me and told me about the match. Let me go back for a second here. Anyways, what I'm saying is each match had a star in it. And a jobber. I'm sorry, you guys. I'm sorry. Each match had a star and an unknown. Okay. Each match had a star and an unknown person. And, TJ Perkins, right? Was it TJ Perkins? Let me see here. Let me go back. Did you read spoilers? I sure did. My friend read spoilers and he was trying to tell me. And I'm like, dude, don't fucking tell me. Let's see. Nakamura versus Balor. Okay, let's see here. How far did he get? Because he was telling me what match he got up to, and it was... He's at the Daivari match. Okay, so Daivari versus Ho-Ho Luna. Okay, so I don't remember the second match was. I'm sorry, you guys. I don't remember what the second match was. But anyways, nonetheless, each match had a star and an unknown. And the first match, a star won. The second match, a star won. The third match, the unknown one, was Ho-Ho Loon. And Arya Daivari, the star of the match, lost. And the fourth match, Kota Ibushi won, who was also the star. So I was surprised to see Ho-Ho Loon win, even though I really wanted him to. I feel like Ho-Ho Loon has to have a good showing in the Cruiserweight Classic, just because they want to make good with China. They want to have a good relationship with China. And in order to do that, they have to make the Chinese guys look good, you know what I mean? There was a lot of, I guess, negative backlash for Ho-Ho Loon beating Arya Daivari, because he didn't seem like he was, like, better than Daivari. But, you know, at this point, Ho-Ho Loon has been in China. We don't know his level of expertise in China. We don't know who he's faced, how many matches he's had. I heard Daivari talk about this on the Sheet podcast. But it was good. It's good. It's good. It's good, you guys. Ho-Ho Loon won the first round, and he's moving on to the second round. So expect to see Ho-Ho Loon, Kota Ibushi, and Grandma Talik. And there's a fourth, I think, in there, but I don't remember who it was. I can't remember right now. Anyways, also we saw Nakamura versus Finn Balor the same night last Wednesday. And it was a good match. Don't get me wrong. It was a fantastic match. I feel like they held back. And I feel like if this match would have taken place in Brooklyn, live in front of the crowd, it would have been like way hotter and way better. But for what it was, Balor's goodbye match on NXT pre-taped television, it was really good. It was really, really good. In fact, it may have been the best match that NXT pre-taped television has ever given us. So with that said, yay! Nakamura got the win over Finn Balor, and it was good. It was really, really good. And if you guys haven't seen this match, I say you go back and you watch it. It took Nakamura two finishers. I can't pronounce the name of his finisher. The knee to the face, though. It took two finishers to put Finn Balor away. And then these guys got up and they embraced and they were friends. And it was good. It was really, really good. But anyways... what was I going to say now? What else is going on in the world? What else is going on in the world? We have the draft rules, you guys. Let me see if I can find them. I have to be able to find them because I tweeted them to all my friends. Not tweeted, texted. Right here, WWE draft rules. Okay. You guys ready? You guys ready for the draft rules? Tuesday, tomorrow evening, the draft will happen. I have to go to work afterwards, but I'm going to do my best to watch the draft. Here are the following rules. Raw will receive the first pick. Since SmackDown is live, Raw has the first overall pick. Number two, since SmackDown Live is 2 hour show and Raw is 3 hours, for every two picks SmackDown Live receives, Raw will receive three picks. I don't really get that. I mean, I kind of get it, but I don't really get how it's going to work out. Like, it doesn't, it's going to be weird. I don't get that, but we'll see what happens. It plays out. Number three, tag teams count as one pick unless the commissioner or general manager specifically only wants one member of the team. And number four, the fourth and last rule, six draft picks will be made off of the NXT roster. Crazy, right? So I want to get into that too. I want to get into the NXT stuff. Here's the male roster of people who are eligible. AJ Styles, Del Rio, Cruz, Corbin, Big Show, Strowman, Wyatt, Lesnar, Cesaro, Jericho, Darren Young with Bob Backlund, Dean Ambrose, WWE Champion, Demon Kane, Dolph Ziggler, Rowan, Swagger, Cena, Kalisto, Owens, Henry, Neville, Orton, Reigns, Rusev with Lana, and the United States title, Zayn, Rollins, Sheamus, Sin Cara, The Miz with Maurice, and the Intercontinental Championship, Titus O'Neil, and Zack Ryder. Zack Ryder. So if you noticed, I said the entire Wyatt family. I said, where is it? Eric Rowan is here. Braun Strowman is here. Bray Wyatt is here. Now, Luke Harper isn't because he's out injured. But that means that these guys are not going to be drafted as a unit, right? Is that according to this? And here's all the units, the tag teams. Breezango, Enzo and Cass, Gallows and Anderson, Golden Truth, The Shining Stars, The Social Outcasts, The Ascension, The Dudley Boys, The New Day, with the tag team championships, The Usos, The Vaudevillains. And so, interesting enough, apparently the Lucha Dragons are going to be individuals here. Sin Cara's there, and Kalisto somewhere else. And they went online today, apparently, and they said that they decided to split the Lucha Dragons up, and they wanted to be drafted individually. And here's the females. Alicia Fox, Becky Lynch, Charlotte with the WWE Championship, Dana Brooke, Eva Marie, Naomi, Natalya, Paige, Sasha Banks, and Summer Rae. Interesting. So no NXT members named. None at all named. Who is going to be drafted from the NXT roster? You asked, right? Well, let's see. Finn Balor is I feel like Finn Balor is not going to be drafted just because he's been trolling so hard. He did a tweet that said, "Did somebody leave the window open? Because I feel a draft." And then he did another tweet today about showed Finn Balor. It's like, Finn Balor, Raw or SmackDown? And it's just, I feel like if he was going to get drafted, he would kind of keep it quiet, you know. But who knows? He could be drafted tomorrow. Man, why am I so tired? I slept like for so long. I guess maybe that's why. So Finn, we'll just say Finn Balor. Bayley, American Alpha, because they just lost the tag titles. So maybe that's why they lost the tag titles. Then you go, okay, well, I got three, right? And I can't think of anybody else. I would say Asuka, but she's a champion. I would say The Revival, but they're champions. I would say Joe, but he's a champion. So I'm going to say the champions don't go. I would say Alexa Bliss, but I feel like she needs to be one of the top women in NXT. And I can't think of any more tag teams. So I don't know. I mean, there's Austin Aries, but I feel like he is on a pay-per-appearance deal. And not on a written deal, and they wouldn't do that with him. There's Bobby Roode, but he just got there. There's Eric Young, but where the hell is he? Ty Dillinger could be one of them. We'll say Ty Dillinger's number four. And that still leaves us two slots. I don't know who it's going to be, you guys. I really don't. I'm excited to see the draft. I'm excited to see who gets drafted. I really, really am. I don't know how they're going to do it, man. SmackDown gets all kinds of... I mean, Raw gets all kinds of extra picks over SmackDown. Okay. I'm getting tired. I'm sorry, you guys. I'm getting tired. Let's, Okay. Let's talk about Pokemon Go. I know everybody hates it because people are playing it. I want to just say for the record, I am not a Pokemon fan. I am not into Pokemon at all. I do not like Pokemon. I am not a Pokemon person. I've never liked Pokemon before. But the game is fun because it uses your real-life map. On your GPS and your phone. And the Pokestops are real places. You know, we went to a barbecue place the other day, and it was a Pokestop, so I'm sitting there eating my barbecue, collecting Pokeballs. It's a good time, you guys. It's a really good time. Now, with that being said, let's head over to Gorick.net. Gorick.net has gotten a makeover, a facelift, if you will. It looks a lot better. Congratulations to the guys over there at Gorick.net. Let's see what the headlines are. Let's see here. WWE working on a Where Are They Now series. That's pretty cool. Heath Slater got hurt. I don't know about Heath Slater. He got hurt. That's all I know. WWE announces the opening segment for Raw from Providence is going to be... the GM thing happening. They're going to announce the GMs in the beginning of Raw, which will, I don't know, I thought that would be a hook to the end of Raw. Undertaker claims to be retired. Let's click on this link and read the story here. Future WWE Hall of Famer The Undertaker is not listed as a wrestler available tomorrow in NXT, or in tomorrow night's WWE draft, nor is he scheduled to be at a WWE television this week. In fact, there is nothing on the WWE horizon for The Undertaker at this time. The Undertaker pulled out of April's European tour, citing the recent terrorism on France and Belgium as a reason for his cancellation. However, Dave Meltzer notes that he told everyone that he is retired. This came on the heels of his victory at WrestleMania 32 over Shane McMahon, telling people at the WrestleMania after party that he has had his last match. With no announcement, one wonders if he'll get the itch to wrestle again at next year's WrestleMania. Interesting. Where did my... Oh, there he goes. Lance Storm comments on a possible second WWE women's title. Let's check this out. Let's see what Lance Storm had to say. Is my phone going to freeze again? Zack Ryder posted a picture of himself saying that my gear for Battleground's going to be sick. Is he going to be at Battleground? If WWE makes a second women's title, please make it the same as Charlotte's, just with a blue face. We don't need that butterfly belt back, Lance Storm. That's cool. That's true, though. I agree with Lance. You got to always agree with Lance, man. Dutch Mantel's going to do a one-man comedy show. He said it's more of an open forum than a comedy show. He's going to tell some stories on the road, tell some road stories, and he's going to leave it open for questions. So that's pretty cool. Good old Dirty Dutch. Here's Heath Slater. Heath Slater suffers a nasty injury at WWE's live event in Bangor, Maine. WWE superstar Heath Slater was injured Saturday during a match with Titus O'Neil at a WWE live event in Bangor, Maine. The match was stopped and Titus O'Neil was declared the winner after Slater developed a nasty gash over his right eye. WWE ringside physician Dr. Steve Somebody told WWE.com the following. Heath has a 6-centimeter laceration above his right eye. It was quite open, right down to the bone. He got 18 sutures, and hopefully that will close it up. Cool. I guess it's not terrible. I mean, he got a cut. It sucks. I'm sure it hurts like hell, but like at the same time, you know, he'll be fine. It's not like he has a broken arm or anything. Let's see what else is happening in the world of professional wrestling. Oh, here's a good one. Several independent wrestling promoters and wrestling convention promoters woke up this morning. This is a couple days ago. To WWE's legal team sending them cease and desist orders. PW Insider is reporting. WWE's letter informed the promoters that they are utilizing WWE photos for advertising materials on posters and or online media promoting former WWE contracted talents on their respective events. Considering how many promoters received cease and desist on the same day, it is obvious WWE did it strategically. WWE is within the legal right to do so since they own professional shots taken by their photographers. Yeah, it's true. It's going to affect a lot of people, though, because everybody's been using WWE photos. In fact, I was wondering a few months ago, like, how is this legal? How are people doing this? Why are people using the WWE photos? Is it legal? Can people do it or what? And apparently it's not legal, and apparently WWE has sent out a cease and desist order. I said deceased, but that's not it. Brock Lesnar flagged for a potential doping violation. That's pretty crazy, right? He may have lost the match. Who knows how that's going to end up. And then finally, this is what I want to end it on here. Let's see here. Cody Rhodes apparently has gotten a cease and desist order from the WWE about using the Rhodes name. And he went on record to say on Twitter, I own Rhodes. He was with me for my first breath, and I was with him for his last. There's no piece of paper on this earth that takes my name away. You know, this is ridiculous, WWE, to do it. It's crazy because I feel like, you know, there's rumors that his departure isn't legit and he'll be coming back soon. But this kind of makes me think, oh, are you sure? Is that really going on? Because why would they send him a cease and desist order, you know? Now what's he going to do? Go by Cody Reynolds on the indie scene? Or maybe he'll legally change his name to Rhodes, because Warrior's done that, China did that, and then they're able to use the names because they can't stop them from using their legal name. So maybe he'll legally change his name to Cody Rhodes. I don't know. But all I know is that he's never wrestled before WWE. Never. And WWE gave him the name Cody Rhodes, and he's used it for 10 years in WWE, and then he left. And now he's using Cody Rhodes again. And all his shows, he's advertised as Cody Rhodes. And I guess we'll see what happens. All right, folks, I'm going to get out of here because I've been talking for a long, long time, and I know y'all are tired of hearing me, and I'm yawning, and I'm tired. So until next Wednesday, this Wednesday. 2 days from now, we're going to see Samoa Joe versus Rhino. Oh, I want to touch on that. Samoa Joe versus Rhino. It's going to be a main event of NXT. It's crazy. It's these two heavy hitters. It's two worlds colliding. You know, we got ECW, we got TNA, and they're colliding in a WWE ring. I'm excited to see it. I don't know how good it's going to be, but I'm still excited to see it, you guys. So, yeah, there's that. And if you haven't listened to Talk is Jericho with the Good Brothers, with the club, go listen to it because it's hilarious. I was laughing so hard. And if you haven't listened to any of Gerwick Report podcasts with Teddy Long, get on that playa. Get on that playa, playa, playa. Holla, holla, holla. Teddy Long is amazing. He has great opinions. He's not afraid to hold back. He's not afraid to say what's on his mind. And he's not looking for a job, you know. He's just Teddy Long. He's just being himself. And so it's great to hear Teddy Long with Gerwick, with Steve Gerwick and Frank D, my boy Frank D, who I had on this podcast like, what, 2 weeks ago? Go back and listen to that, too. It was good times. Good times, you guys. All right, you guys, I'm going to head out of here, and I'm going to talk to you guys soon. Peace out.